Well, good morning, everyone, again. So the gospel for Labor Day tomorrow is Labor Day. In case you forgot, like I did. Yes, tomorrow is Labor Day, and the gospel for tomorrow is this. Jesus said, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And the collect for Labor Day is this. Almighty God, you have so linked our lives one with another that all we do affects for good or ill the other lives. So guide us in the work we do, that we may do it not for self alone, but for the common good, and as we seek to proper return for our own labor. Make us mindful of the rightful aspirations of other workers and arouse our concern for those who are out of work. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. So in 1894, Labor Day became a national holiday. And while it's considered to be supposedly a day of rest, its roots are actually not very restful. The Department of Labor talks about parties and unions, which we all know have a checkered past. The Haymarket Affair was known as the Haymarket Massacre or Haymarket Riot, and this began the international call for a day set aside to protect the rights of workers. It was a pretty violent gathering, and many died, including 4 civilians and 7 police officers. Well, they were wounded. I don't know if they all died. But according to the most reliable source on the planet, Wikipedia, the form for the celebration of Labor Day was outlined in the first proposal of the holiday to be a street parade, to have a festival for workers and their families. And this was the pattern for many days. It's interesting to note that now the nation's largest labor forces, the retail workforce, has no rest on Labor Day. Monday is the biggest shopping day of the year, with the exception of the Friday after Thanksgiving. But the labor that Jesus refers to in this passage is not specifically the labor of daily work, but the labor of daily life. He is speaking to people outside the circle of his disciples. The heavy burden is the burden of the traditional Old Testament law that requires constant study and monitoring and interpretation. And it was about the law, it became not about God necessarily. There were arguments, and there was a lot of tension about exactly what the Bible was saying, what it meant. But Jesus says, "Come unto me, come into my arms and be refreshed. My burden is light." In other words, come to the knowledge of love, that Jesus is love, and that if we love Jesus with all our heart, mind, and soul, and we love our neighbor as ourselves, that we won't have to carry that burden of wondering what it is that weighs us down, because we know we are free through Jesus. In our society, though, it's not the keeping of the law that distracts us from taking time for Sabbath, for taking time for studying the teachings of Jesus. It's our daily work, our jobs, our commitments as parents or members of community that burden us. "I just don't have time to read my Bible. I just don't have time to do anything but work, go to family events and go to bed. I am exhausted." And here's the paradox. If we take more time to be refreshed by taking time with God, we will have more time. I'm not sure why this is, but I know it to be true. If we actually take time with Jesus, the yokes that we carry will be light. The rest that we need comes in putting aside the burdens of life and spending time with our Lord. Living a life where we put God first is the essence of something called the Shema, which I know I've talked about before. And this is the first and last prayer of the day in the life of a Jewish home. The reminder to put God before all things and to teach God's way to our children and make it the cornerstone of our home. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. You shall love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Remember now, this is in Deuteronomy. So keep these words that I am commanding you, Jesus says. I am commanding these words to you today in your heart. Recite them to your children. Talk about them when you're at home. And when you are away, when you lie down and when you rise, remember. Remember these words and bind them in your heart. Fix them as an emblem on your forehead and write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates. So let's just take a minute and circle around back into our daily life. And the problems that we claim, or I claim, that I just don't have time. I don't have enough time to read my Bible, to speak with God, to do God's work, etc., etc. I have a long list. And even though my personal job involves daily interaction with God, as I hope yours does as well, that does not mean that I don't complain. I don't complain of, I wish I had more time. Wish I had more time for God. But here's the thing. As I promise you, and I promise you, this is true. If we make time in our lives for the things of God that we don't have time for, all the mundane stuff will become easier and more and ordered. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. Ha, you say? Prove it. Okay, I'm giving everyone here a homework assignment. And I did not write it down, but I will put it up on the board. You can copy it as the biblical reference to the Shema. My assignment is for the next 30 days. I want you as a family, whether it's you with the dog or the cat or the hamster, or a family of however many, to recite the Shema first thing when you wake up and last thing before you go to bed. Every morning and every night. And at the end of the 30 days, I hope you will decide things. First thing to decide is that talking and taking intentional time out for God makes the burdens of life easier. And the second thing is that you will decide to continue to practice a daily, intentional time with God. I know many of you already do. I know that for some of us, our daily work is exactly what we want to be doing in life. And for some of us, our daily work is the bane of our existence. Either way, it's not our job that defines us. God, our Creator, defines us. And it is by living out God's promise that we find true joy. If we look for our job or our family or no matter how many wonderful things that there might be in our lives, we will ultimately be disappointed. We will not find the rest that we find in Jesus. It is only through Jesus that our burden becomes light. Just think how much easier it might be if we don't expect our friends or our spouse or our children or our parents to make our lives good. If we can trust in Jesus to carry our burdens, then we can experience the truth that all things really are possible with God. Then it is in partnership with God that we can make our lives good. Make our lives good. Then we can share that goodness with those that we meet. Then it is no longer the job or the daily schedule or any other stuff of the world that defines us. It is the relationship with Jesus that defines us. And when we come into the circle of his arms, we find rest and wisdom greater than the thoughts of humankind. Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Please stand.